probably too loud.
Yeah, no one's clipping.
No?
Let's
okay.
see. You're 4?
No, I'm a 10, baby.
You are a 10.
Do.
All right, how's that?
Sounds good.
All right. Ooh, that smell.
Oh, can we get the cans down a little bit?
Yep.
Can you smell that smell?
Good times, great oldies.
Smell.
Yeah.
787, it stinks.
It's true.
This is a pretty funny article from the Times Union.
Yeah, this is the kind of stuff that you can only get in small town newspaper land. Unless it's about the Gowanus Canal, I guess. I don't know, that thing smells all the time, right?
So a smell persists along I-787 in Albany, and a new possible source emerges. Ooh. Mm. So this article calls it a relentless, nauseating smell of human waste that drivers are experiencing going through Albany. And basically, they're blaming us.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, they're blaming Rensselaer County and our wastewater disposal. So
it's probably us.
Yeah. And when you think about it, it's probably us.
Well, how come you can smell it in Albany then?
Yeah. So I have an ongoing theory. But first, the facts of the matter is that, yeah, people smell stuff on the highway, which for those that aren't around, the geography is like Rensselaer County going from east to west is Rensselaer County, Hudson River, 787, the rest of Albany County, right?
Yep.
And Albany County, their water treatment plant, like, they switched the thing that they use, the chemical that they use to bring down the smell from something to hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
So they're like, maybe it's the hydrogen peroxide isn't strong enough or something. We don't know, but you go to the plant itself and it doesn't really smell like anything.
Hmm.
But then this intrepid reporter, do you have the name handy?
Patrick Tyne.
Yeah, so Patrick Tyne, our intrepid reporter, is like, okay, maybe that's not the one that stinks. And you go across the river to the Rensselaer County facility that's located in Troy. Troy mentioned.
Woo!
And he says it's like eye-watering.
Yeah.
Like, it smells so fucking bad there.
Okay, I think we found out who dealt it.
It's funny you say that, because the final line of the article is, in the ongoing saga of the smell, it cannot be ruled out that though Albany has smelt it, Rensselaer County may have dealt it.
Yeah.
And so I have one more theory here, okay. Right? Because the Rensselaer County plant is on conveniently enough Water Road. The physical mailing address for this is Foot of Water Road.
Okay.
No number.
All right.
Okay.
And I drive past it to go to work, and it's like down the hill right by the Troy Menands Bridge,
mm-hmm.
and like the waste transfer station. It's just a bunch of dirty shit down there, right?
Okay.
And around there is that spot that's always wet.
Oh, interesting.
No matter what. There's always a little wet spot on the road. Like when you just get off the Troy Menands Bridge. Listeners, call right in if you know what spot I'm talking about. It's at the foot of the hill, and there's like a little dirty patch of like a median, and it's always fucking wet. At first, I thought like it was like snow melt or something coming off the hill or something, but it would go days without rain. It would just be the same amount of moisture. Just enough to like get tires wet. So I think there's something that is getting the tires wet with human piss and shit.
Uh-huh.
And then they're getting directly on the highway and spreading it all over the highway.
Hence the smell.
Hence the smell.
Interesting.
Do you think that's
enough stuff, though?
Yes.
It's just getting transported on the tires?
Well, I think maybe on top of the, like, it's just wafting.
Yeah. Wafting.
Yeah. Because we also have
wafting moisture.
Yeah.
This is a disgusting theory. It all sounds gross.
Yeah.
Wet spots, moisture.
Yeah.
My theory is that we're getting combined sewage overflow events.
That's what I was going to say next. What's going on there?
Because we've had like the wettest March like ever.
Yeah,
like we got basically rain every day for about a month.
Wet ass March.
And the rivers have been like coursing like super high, and we have water infrastructure from like the 1850s.
Yeah,
and so
we have wood pipes.
Every time it heavy rains, water gets into our sewage system, and that overflows directly into the Hudson.
Yeah.
And that's probably what's to blame, which is to say it's probably not like the water treatment plant, except insofar as the water treatment plant isn't doing its job sufficiently to like...
It's like not big enough.
It would need to like suck the sewer like empty before it rains every time.
Yes, to suck that sewer dry, baby.
Yeah.
This is all gross.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the city of Troy's been, like, fined several times for doing this. Keep doing it.
Troy, New York, baby. Number one.
We just keep doing it. Yeah. Carm, you're the only one that can help us. Please, Carmella, help us. Get your action team out here.
Yeah, where's the action team?
Or not the action team. Was it the quality of life
quality
task force?
Quality of life task force.
My quality of life. It's been hit.
Yeah.
It's too stinky.
My quality of life is stinky. Get the get the action task force, whatever the fuck you call it.
Wasn't Carmella Mantella over the last week or so also coming out in favor of like building a city hall there's something like $250,000 of like back rent that the city owes
that she's like, we just found out about this. Like, you were the city council president the whole time.
Yeah.
Don't pretend like you just, like, you fell out of the coconut tree.
Yeah. The context of everything before and everything.
Yeah. You're in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that'll happen. Probably not. But, you know, it's got the Dems all upset, and they're like, well, there goes our budget surplus.
Yeah, right, like, yeah.
We did everything we could to keep the balanced budget, including, I guess, not paying rent for a really expensive city floor.
Which, respect, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
A city should set an example. Don't pay your landlord.
It's like... The city hypothetically, like, you know, owns the police, right?
So they hypothetically?
So they could just use their monopoly of violence to just
occupy city floor?
Just...
In reality, I think it's...
the building.
I think it might be reversed in reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you'd think they could just, like, march into the management, the property management office. This is ours now. Expropriado.
In a just world, in a just
city. Yeah. It would be a people's police force to take over property.
So Hillary Clinton has a message for you guys.
Oh?
Get over yourself.
Me?
Yeah.
Get over myself?
You specifically, Chris.
Oh, I don't know.
As the source of everyone's problems.
Yeah, that's...
That you take full responsibility for it.
That's a tall order. Especially coming from somebody, didn't she like write a whole book about her incapacity to get over herself?
Correct.
It's true, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, well, she had someone write it for her.
right.
But I cannot imagine reading a whole ass book about yourself that someone else wrote for you after you talked about yourself to them, probably for months, right?
Yeah.
Or probably. Something? That's such a... You can't be normal if you do that. Right? Like, that. There's no way.
Yeah, I think that's, like, the case of every single person who's had a biography.
Yeah.
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 Not normal people. All of them.
Abnormal. Abnormal people. I guess, if you write a memoir about yourself, maybe that's different.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole ghostwriter, they like, investigate you with no, like a critical lens. That shit is... will make you crazy if you weren't already.
Yeah, but you really have to be a narcissist to go through something like that.
But you were probably already a narcissist to, like, kind of,
you have to be a narcissist to run for president.
That's
unless
true.
You're Bernie Sanders. Yeah. That's the one exception.
Yeah. No, that's true. Very true. But what is this all about that Clinton's trying to get? This is like the
basically
uncommitted
movement. If you don't like your options for president, you need to get over yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not about you, okay? It's about our weapons contractors.
Yeah. I mean, that's not that unique of a statement. That's like the entire political class has been saying that for decades now.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's just like so bad at being a politician.
It's just how tone deaf she is.
Yeah.
Like you don't say that. Yeah, you don't say that out loud.
Especially not to Jimmy Kimmel, right? She was on a late night show.
She was with Jimmy Fallon.
Okay, it was wrong Jimmy. Sorry.
Yeah, different Jimmy.
totally different Jimmy. Sorry, now that I think about it, totally appropriate, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that Jimmy, that's the Jimmy you say that to.
Right, absolutely. Relatedly, the Leave It Blank campaign in New York for the primary got 12% of the vote.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
Which is substantially more than they usually get.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. That's more than Marianne Williamson ever got.
Marianne Williamson got 4% of the vote.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel a little sad for her. She's still trucking along, though.
She's still doing it. Yeah. And similarly...
What did RFK Jr. get?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
I think 3%.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Less than Maryam?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think that's right. I looked at the numbers this morning.
Well, that's heartening. Like that. I was concerned. There were like polls that were saying that he had at one point like 20-ish percent.
Yeah, he had a moment.
And that's discouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of those feel like just like media creations or like we have to make this seem like something's going on.
Yeah.
Right. And they're just like, they find one poll that got it wrong.
Yeah.
They're like, look at this. What if this were true?
Yeah.
And they just try to wish cast it.
Remember how it seriously apart. Everyone was taking Ron DeSantis like, even, like 6 months ago?
I do remember that. Yeah. And then we met him. then the world met him.
He got hungry.
Yeah, he got too hungry.
Hungry. David and I say that to each other all the time.
Yeah.
I love how that wasn't even real, but
everyone,
it just matched like his gestalt so much that they're like, it might as well be.
Yeah. He has said that, but just didn't catch it on film. Yeah. Once you like go up to a kid and you go, wow, there's a lot of sugar in that. It's like, you're toast. You're fucking done. Yeah. I'm going to believe anything that people say you said.
So should we get on to the more grim stories that we have today?
Yeah, sure. I guess so.
Oh, one more thing, though, I want to say about the election, this past non-election. In local news... So you also have to vote on the people that would go to the Electoral College to anoint Joe Biden. And so we have 8 people on the ballot near us. And the guy that I hate the most got the least amount of votes.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's important.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's good. Todd Kerner, go fuck yourself. All right, that's it.
Why do you hate him?
Yeah, what's the reason? Give the listeners in on your spite.
Yeah, so Todd Kerner is the executive director of the Public Employees Federation, or PEF, the union that represents more professional employees in state workers. And he has gone on like this kind of one-man quest to get this professor at Albany Law fired. Because she tweeted in favor of Palestinians.
Really?
Yeah, and he is just, like, a staunch Zionist and a absolute, dog of a guy, and I don't like him.
Yeah.
He was on the ballot, and everyone else doesn't like him either.
Hell yeah.
So, he's also, allegedly, I just hear rumors I'm repeating from other people. I do not think that this I have no opinion whether this is true or not. Apparently had to leave the Saratoga Democratic committee. I might be getting the name of that body wrong, but basically, like the leaders of the Democratic Party in Saratoga County, for generally being abusive to women.
I heard he's a dog fucker.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's,
I don't know. I can't substantiate that, but I did hear that.
This is the first I'm hearing of that.
Oh, really?
So I could neither. Yeah. That's a wild accusation.
Non-actionable.
Yeah.
I just heard that from somebody else.
That wild. Wild.
I heard his breath smells like adrenochrome.
Oh. Huh. You can't get that. Yeah. Like that smell, doesn't go away.
It's like uni.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Disgusting. Okay, now let's talk about the other terrible thing.
Okay, so let's talk about Israel and the war in Gaza. this was a very viral, or at least on my Twitter, 972 article.
Do you pronounce the plus? Is the plus silent?
I don't know if you say the plus. I don't know. Plus 972 mag?
Silent plus sign? Yeah, I don't know.
On the Lavender AI that Israel uses to target Hamas militants. And it's basically the gist of it is that this AI basically gives the IDF cover for killing civilians by saying that it can target Hamas militants with, you know, 90% accuracy, which I don't fucking believe, just because Israel lies. And if they say 90%, I'm sure it's much lower than that.
And 90 is pretty low already.
Yeah, yeah.
like 10% of the time.
Of your targets are not Hamas.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And it gets worse, don't worry.
And it gets worse. Yeah. So the way they do this is basically by like tracking the habits of known Hamas militants, like changing their cell phone regularly, moving their homes a lot, what WhatsApp groups they're in, that kind of thing.
Being obsessed with red triangles.
And it basically compares those actions to other, you know, suspected Hamas militants. And so the AI just compiles all of this data to create targets. And they say in this article, they talked to several like members of the IDF, and they're basically like, the goal is to just keep creating targets, like more targets. We have to have more stuff to hit.
And we're talking like thousands.
Thousands. Yeah. 30 something thousand targets that they have so far. And what's, I think the most disturbing part of this is that they use another program called Where's Daddy? And it basically tells them when a suspected militant has arrived home, because they prefer to bomb the homes of suspected militants because it's easier.
Than what? Like finding them in the field, like in a tunnel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, certainly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, you know, that's where people who aren't militants also live.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and so that now that it's operating procedure to for very low level militants, or, you know, low level people that are identified by Lavender, they are authorized to kill up to, like, I think, like 15-20
civilians.
15-20 civilians.
They knocked it down to 5 at one point, yeah. But they were like, no, we're not getting targets fast enough. Yeah. We gotta knock that number up again. Yeah. So they knocked it up to 20.
So it's 90% accurate at best.
To find the one that they person. Get 15 yeah. to yeah. actually get.
Yeah, so what you end up with is you're killing 10 to 20 times more women and children than possible Hamas
militants. Yeah.
And because of the way Lavender works, the militant could be, you know, scare quotes around militant, you know, could be someone that, you know, gave you know, called someone who is in Hamas several times, and they might not even know that, you know, that other person is in Hamas, or it's their brother's their brother that's in Hamas, and they gave him a cell phone to keep in touch, and now they got bombed, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a ton of stuff that is just like it's particularly disgusting when you think about how often when pressed about the level of civilian casualties in Gaza, the IDF says, well, it's because Hamas hides amongst civilian populations, right? And like they are, and look at how disgusting they are for using human shields,
which is an assertion, right? Because there's like no third party forensics that go in and look and validate any of this. This is all this enclave is entirely controlled at all points by Israel,
and it's like the most densely populated place on the planet. Practically, it's one of the, you know, one of the top.
Where else
are
they going to go?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like you.
There's a lot of civilians.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's urban warfare. Like, doesn't seem like there's a ton of places where you can. Okay, we'll do war over here. You know, kind of thing. And and so now when you look at this, and you're like, oh no, actually, you were waiting for whatever you know, poor definition militant you have, you were waiting for those people to go to civilian areas and homes and then bomb them.
Yeah.
Yeah. How disgusting of them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, they made us do this.
Yeah.
And so, a program called Where's Daddy? Daddy.
Yeah.
Like, that is...
It probably sounds better in Hebrew.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
Right. Yeah, because it's particularly, it's called Where's Daddy, I think, because really the only civilian human oversight on Lavender was to determine if it was a male target.
Because women are not members of Hamas. They can't be Hamas militants. So if Lavender said that the target was a woman, then they discarded that. But that takes them like 15, 20 seconds to determine.
Yeah.
And that's the only human oversight they're willing to apply.
Yeah. And then after that, it's where's Just Daddy?
Whatever the program says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's also the choice of what kind of bomb to use. Once you've identified the target and then determined where they are located, it's they like to use dumb bombs
rather than precision guided missiles.
But, on low level, it's a very disturbing kind of thought process, right? Where it's like these low level militants don't deserve the guided missiles. And so we're going to kill their entire family with a bomb that levels
the
building and everyone next to it.
Or if we miss with the munition, just like the next door building.
Yeah.
They also say that like those suspected militants like aren't home all the time. Like they will know, they'll know that they were maybe home in the last few hours. But, like, a lot of the time, the person isn't even in the home. So they just kill a family for no reason, which one of them says in the article, we kill families for no reason.
Yeah. Because, like, they'll determine, they were home at, like, 8 p.m., and then they bomb them at 3 a.m. And there's no real-time check to see if this person is still there.
Is still there, yeah.
Yeah. We're saying all this, and I use the word target to describe people. All of this, by the way, you know, is just, like, absolutely fucking
dressing.
Horrific in the first place, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is all just, you know, a story that's, like, they drop the bomb, paint the target, tell the story. And this is, like, a way of getting AI to do that ahead of time with enough, like, I guess, plausible deniability such that nobody needs to rationalize anything. It's just like, we're bombing a population center. Like, that's what we're doing. And we're also starving them to death. And this is actually really moral and just. And this is what defeating a idea that... we're the baddies looks like. So
yes,
you know, it's needing to be done.
And no measure is too much. No amount, no atrocity is too great in order to defeat this enemy.
Yeah, what you just said, Chris, is very similar to what Kevin Baker, this technology critic who has this really good Substack called Artificial Bureaucracy, said something very similar, and he compared it to the U.S. military used a program called Igloo White in Vietnam, where they would use like sound sensors and also these things that would detect like pee to determine if people were like if were around. Like a particular trail.
Okay.
Yeah. So like you know if the sensor like heard a truck, they're like, oh, okay, that's the road that they're using, that the Viet Cong are using or whatever. Or if it, you know, it's like, oh, there's troop deployments because we're detecting piss.
How do they detect pee?
Piss sensor.
Scent, yeah, you know. Like, is it probably the same way that we detected that smell in the Hudson.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Is it with a pee sensor? Yeah. Yeah. You don't have one?
I don't have a pee sensor.
Oh, I got them all over the place. This room, I will know as soon as someone pisses in this room.
I've already pissed in this room, and you had no idea.
I haven't checked my notifications. The documents are there. We will come after you.
So this was Vietnam era.
Yeah, in Vietnam, this thing called Igloo White, where they would like try to figure all this stuff out. And what ended up happening was, you know, like the Vietnamese were like, oh yeah, that's the sensor. If you just like run some cattle next to it, they'll bomb over there, and we can go do something over here. Right. Or they would like throw like dog piss on the sensor, and move it all over the place. But the end result was basically like the Americans would just like bomb the shit out of places,
yeah,
for no discernible military success or significance. But under all the metrics that the U.S. military was using, these were successes because they found targets and they hit them, because Vietnam was just like a fucking mess, right? And so they're just like trying to find something to fucking do.
Yeah, everything was going according to plan.
Yeah, yeah, and this is basically the argument Kevin Baker makes, right? Is that that Lavender and Where's Daddy, all these systems, you know, you don't need to like open the black box on these things, as he said, you know, like that, you know, you don't. Which is sort of his meta criticism of this, is like a lot of the discussion around Lavender wasn't like the things that we focused on. It's like a lot of the, you know, like the farm league of AI criticism stuff is like, oh, we need to, like, 90% isn't accurate enough, and like, well, and the data was bad, and like, you know, like, we need to make these systems better, right? And it's like, no, that's definitely not the point. And it's definitely also not the point that, like, oh no, now they're using these like obscure systems that will never be able to understand exactly how it does what it does. It's like, the point is that you offload the responsibility to a technology and say that the technology did it. We were just following orders, basically, of the technology.
Yeah.
And it gives, like, this veneer of technological, like,
sophistication.
Yeah. When it's really, it's indiscriminate bombing of civilians' homes. At the end of the day, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And you can run out a news cycle by focusing on, like, tech shit, instead of like, oh yeah, it's now crystal clear that there was a, you know, the command order in the IDF was straightforward, like, bomb people at home. Yeah. That's the headline, right? Not that, like, oh, there's a sophisticated, confusing algorithm that no one can fully understand. Like, no, fuck that. It's you're bombing people in their homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe you could bomb an aid convoy.
Or that. Yeah.
Yeah, Israel carried out a supposedly mistaken airstrike on an aid convoy from World Central Kitchen and killed 7 aid workers, which has, you know, drawn a lot of international outcry. You know, how many white people have to die in this war before anything happens? Who knows?
Yeah.
The number's not 7, but, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And, like, I'm sure a lot have already, like, more than this. But the fact that this is a, you know, the death of less than 10 people created as much international outrage while 2 million people are being starved to death and, you know, all of their homes are being destroyed. And, like there's something going on with the West as a like an ideological body politic. Like, I don't know, I couldn't, it the outrage seemed really inscrutable to me. I didn't really get it. Like, America made a huge, like, Kirby came out and was like, this is outrageous, like, we are so pissed off.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're funding this. You just passed a record weapons package after 6 months of this.
Right.
Like, how are you upset about 8 people getting blown up? I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm upset about 8 people getting blown up. But, like, I'm also really upset with 30-ish thousands of people getting blown up. Like,
and starved to death.
Yeah. And, like, there's no fucking, like, international mechanism apparent to stop this. Like, obviously, it's just the United States, right? If the U.S. was just like, we're stopping this, then it could stop.
Yep.
It's not going to do that because it's really lucrative. And this is what the ruling class wants to have happen. So it's really crazy to me that people can, like, you know, fix their mouth to, like, talk about this as an outrageous breach of otherwise an acceptable norm.
Yeah.
Like, this is just so fucking crazy.
This is the first time that government officials have stated that it's, unless Israel takes concrete steps to combat this kind of thing, these atrocities, then, you know, it's possible aid will be conditioned. whatever that means. Very vague kind of nothing statement, but it's the first time they've said anything like that, so.
I guess that's something.
I guess so.
You should also say that, like, that Israel has killed more aid workers since October 7th than, like, in any other conflict in the last 30 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Right, and that's it's according to the aid worker security database. You just, like, you see this, like, graph of just, like, just shoots up. It's the most you've ever seen. It's horrifying. And when you think about, like, why... Because, you know, like, Israel could just every time be like, those aid workers, there was a Hamas guy in there. This mm-hmm. wasn't an accident. Or they could say, it was a Hamas rocket, right? Like what they did with Al-Shifa Hospital, right? They have all of these excuses that they're happy to use that don't convince anybody, right? But they bring those out to give America, like, a cover. They're like, oh, no, we heard from IDF that it's this, so, you know, we're fine, right? All this other stuff. But they didn't this time. They took credit for it this time, right?
Bibi Netanyahu got on TV smirking the entire time and was like, this was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah, basically shit happens. Yeah, and I frankly believe that they're doing that to further the hunger crisis, right? This is a thinly veiled threat to every other aid organization that's like, we're coming for you too.
Who are pulling out?
Yeah,
because it's too dangerous,
right? And that was the exact intended effect.
Yeah,
because this is also this wasn't just like because they are saying like, oh, this is an errant missile, like we hit them on accident, but they triple tapped them.
Yeah, it was three separate attacks.
Yeah.
Like, one per vehicle.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's not...
And also, like, incredibly accurate.
Yeah, and
like, we're talking about ammunition that, like, landed square in the roof.
In the roof of the car,
yeah.
And incinerated everyone inside.
Yeah. And that these cars drive on paths and at schedules given to the IDF to prevent this from happening.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Right? So,
and
like, this is
covered from the top with like stickers that are legible from drone.
Yeah. Yeah. So clearly this is, you know, like a barely veiled threat to every other aid organization, and the aid organizations are heeding that threat and pulling out, which is again why lots of Gazans are living on 245 calories a day.
Yeah.
You know, it's that's exactly what this is for.
Yeah, dozens of children have already died from starvation. Yeah.
Oh, lots. Yeah. I mean, I've seen more than dozens with my own eyes. Like, you know, it's horrifying shit. Like, absolutely horrifying shit. Seeing a child corpse that has died from starvation is like a horror that nobody should be subjected to. Never mind actually being starved to death as a child. Like this is so massively traumatizing to so many people, like all of the Gazans, not the least of which, but like, you know, the entire fucking world is watching this. And, you know,
I can't count the number of dead children I've seen just in the last week on Twitter. Like, it's really, you know, I spend a lot of time on Twitter finding things for our show. That's kind of like just a curated news source for me, but the images coming out of it are they're coming so fast and they're so striking that it's hard to imagine. There was just recently, Biden was in a meeting with I think a Palestinian doctor maybe, and she pulled up, she had these images of, you know, children starving and being amputated, and she showed them to him and he said, oh yeah, I've already seen these, but she pulled them off of her phone. There's no way that he had already seen them. And that's the kind of casual cruelty that he's treating this with.
Yeah.
You know, oh no, I've already seen those pictures.
Yeah. Show me new ones. Yeah. as if these new ones, these will move me. Right. It's like a very fucking strange thing to say. Yeah.
I've fully calloused my heart against these images.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, they will do nothing to me.
Oh, I've been seeing these photos since the 90s, you know, which is true. Even in like the 972 article we were talking about, did I get those numbers right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. the maybe silent plus 972 article. part of the reason that IDF soldiers like cooperated and you know, gave information to this magazine is because they're like starting to get concerned that like, oh yeah, what we're doing to these people, they will not forget.
No, they're like, creating an entire new generation of Hamas.
Yeah, yeah. That this is create or just something completely different.
Or something completely different. Yeah,
yeah. Like these, everyone that survives this is there's no going back. You tried to do it. You did a genocide, right? Yeah. Like you committed genocide, and that is not easily forgotten. And I think Jews probably know that,
yeah.
Right? So it's like that's it's creating like just even if you somehow are as callous as Joe Biden in this, you need to understand that like this isn't going to in the long run end well at all for Israel, right? Yeah. Is horrifying. And then as far as like Americans go, I don't think the average American has even a glimmer of understanding how America's whatever shit we had left of like goodwill of Americans, I think that's gotta be gone.
Yeah,
yeah. Anything, just a shimmer of it that was left since like, you know, we obliterated Libya and Yemen and Afghanistan and Syria and Iraq and then Vietnam and Cambodia, Laos, right? You know, just like, I mean, like all of these countries we regime changed, like they were, that was bad. Those were terrifying. We created tons of enemies.
This is like DPRK shit.
Yeah, with like legitimate beefs with us. But now we have directly aided just like fish in a barrel shooting shit. Like just like horrific stuff and like lots of children dead on television kind of thing, and like that's not going away.
Yeah.
And it's all getting live streamed in 4K.
yeah, which also I have to say is creating a new standard for evidence, I think, for claims of genocide, which can work in disturbing ways, right? So there could be real genocides that happen that, like, for whatever reason, you know, the images don't get out, right? And then people just don't believe that this happened, because if it happened in Palestine and we saw all of that, how could it be happening here and we don't see that, right?
Right.
So, like, that I could imagine scenarios where, you know, in the future where it's like, oh, okay, well, that's less of a genocide or that's not a genocide because we saw with our own eyes on our phones what genocide looks like. On the flip side, though, you do also have to think, like, I don't, like, so China was carrying out a sustained genocide of the Uyghur population for, what has it been now, a decade, apparently? And not a single...
Man, we shut the fuck up about that pretty fast, yeah, huh? Right?
Didn't we, though? Yeah.
Yeah.
Turns out, that maybe we don't want to talk about...
genociding a captive Muslim population.
Yeah, huh. You know, like, we haven't seen fucking anything from about that, you know.
Yeah, like, there's very no document.
I feel like you could see like even a quarter, a fifth, a tenth of the documentation of Palestine to the Uyghur genocide. Like, it just kind of tells you, kind of like, I don't know, maybe something a little bit different is happening than a quote unquote genocide over there. You know, so I think there's just like something about the evidentiary process of everyone witnessing Gaza happen that's also going to fundamentally change how we see world events going forward. And it's an agnostic change. I don't think it's good or bad on net positive or negative or whatever, but it's...
Well, it's clear that this level of documentation doesn't seem to really have an effect.
It's the exact same shit as, like, all of the increased documentation of, like, police brutality in the United States and how that, like, you know, led to a increased consciousness of it, which led to an increased normalization and acceptance of it.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing of, like, are you going to fully accept and embrace this, you know, state of America, you know, doing like violent racial like policing to maintain the class structure? Or are you going to be one of the brave few that at least pays lip service to the fact that Black Lives Matter? You know, like are the acceptable options, right?
Yeah.
Whereas like right now, it's like you're either accepting of the fact that we just do genocide now and like that's cool. Or you accept the alternative reality that we're not doing a genocide, and actually, like, this is a totally legit, you know, right of self-defense of our nation, that's our sister nation, you know, that we need to stand against the rest of the world to keep from disciplining, like, you know, like, those are the two options, right? Or, like, set yourself on fire, like that, you know, like, it's really fucking bleak. Like, was remarking the other day that, like, if you had told me 7 months ago that I was going to legitimately, at least my interior dialogue, be comparing Joe Biden and Adolf Hitler.
Right. Yeah.
I would have been like, wow, dude, you got red pilled. Like, what happened? Like, or you just got on the wrong blogs, like Breitbart. like, what the fuck happened? And now I'm like,
you had some bad blogs, dude. You had some bad blogs.
Too many blogs.
And now I'm like, oh my God, man. Like, I mean, like, we're off by an order of magnitude at least, but like, that's not different. Like, that's just a matter, like, that's only a matter of degree, that they're of the same kind. And it's like, oh fuck, well, I mean, if I ever didn't give a fuck more about, you know, the political elective outcomes of the United States, like, yeah, then I don't even know, guys. I can't cope with this, you know, like,
yeah, it's a lot,
it's too real.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a lot.
It's and, you know, my heart is calcifying as well. You know, like, I'm, every time I see one of these motherfuckers, you know, supporting this shit just on TV, like, I just want to watch their head explode. Like, the level of, like, violent ideation and fantasy that, you know, like, comes with just seeing this level of complete inhumanity is, like, itself an unwelcome side effect, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's like, can't we all just be decent? Can't we all just, like, take care of one another and, like, universal brotherhood and, like, do away with all these fucking nation states and just, like, try to survive the 21st century in some semblance of a civilization? Wouldn't that be fucking sweet? I would very much like that. I'd like that to be a trajectory that we could be talking about the next steps toward, you know, years from now, and not, I don't know, just, like, watching accelerating horror. And the commentariat discussing, like, how it feels, I guess.
But then what would we podcast about?
I don't know. Like, solutions? Like good news? I don't know.
The podcast maw must be satiated.
Oh, God. All right. I think this episode merits two wildflowers, right?
Yes.
I think we could use the levity.
I certainly could.
Do you want to start with the Stripper's Bill of Rights?
Yeah.
Nice.
I think this is pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
So this is in Washington State. It basically is going to give statewide protections to adult entertainers in the state. The bill sponsor, Rebecca Saldana of Seattle, says strippers are workers and they should be given the same rights and protections as any other labor force. And so it basically, it requires training for employees in establishments to prevent sexual harassment, to identify and report human trafficking and de-escalate conflict and provide first aid. Security workers will have to have keypad codes on dressing rooms and panic buttons in places where entertainers might be alone with customers. The new law also limits how high of fees owners of these clubs are allowed to charge, capping them at $150 or 30% of what the dancers make during their shift, whichever is less.
Sorry, fees?
Yeah. So exotic dancers, I don't know what the correct, what the appropriate term, so I'm just going to say adult entertainers, are independent contractors, and they have to pay fees to the club where they work in order to be allowed to dance there.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yep.
You'd think that the club would just be taking that off the top or something. I guess because the club doesn't get revenue directly, like, it goes directly to the worker.
I mean, they get revenue, like, from drink sales and stuff, but, you know, adult entertainers work on tips.
Okay.
They're not getting paid an hourly wage.
Okay.
Yeah. So, the State Department of Labor and Industries will be drafting these new rules and guidelines.
I think it also said it outlaws late fees. Sometimes they would...
outlaws late fees.
Yeah. So you'd get charged as a worker if you like showed up late to your gig or something. They'd take more money from you.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, it's a major step forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, hell yeah. And that's, I assume, from Organized Action of Adult Workers?
Yeah. This organization, Strippers Are Workers, has been a big advocate for these regulations, which has been active in the state since 2018.
SAW. Good acronym.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
they certainly are. Is it a union that's like recognized by like the NLRB?
No, it's not a union. It's just a like a organization.
Of independent contractors.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you want to tell us about these New Mexico
de-escalators?
De-escalators.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm going to be doing this mostly from memory, so forgive if the numbers are a little off. But there's a lovely little video that we'll have located in the show notes. This came across my Reuters news feed, and it's in response to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they had, I believe, the highest amount of officer-involved shootings, i.e. cops shooting people, in the entire nation. And as a result of that, I believe there was a city council move to create essentially a unarmed civilian de-escalative force that would be called in the event of like a 911 call that was understood to be like a mental health crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And these people show up in teams of two, and they are unarmed. And they have no state authority outside of the fact that they're paid by the government to do this, to try to directly intervene in people who are having like extreme mental health crises. And, you know, if the situation becomes violent toward these de-escalative employees, they retreat and they call mm-hmm. the cops. But if they say go into a home and someone's like smashing shit in the home, like against the wall, they like bravely stand there and try to talk to the person and like get them to calm down. And the effectiveness of this is actually pretty incredible. And like they are being called out, I think something like 20% of like response calls or something like that.
Yeah. It's a good size of it. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. And they're working on like, I think it was like 10% of this of the budget of the police department. It's like over like $200 million for the Albuquerque Police Department.
Yeah, I think it's like 5% or something. It's like 14 yeah, mil yeah. is like going to these de-escalative right, yeah. services.
Compared to like the 900 officer strong
yeah.
police force at Albuquerque. 900 people.
Yeah.
That's an army. That's so crazy.
It is. Yeah. It is rather
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
And what's also a little bit surprising, to me at least, is that the Albuquerque police is like advocating for this, you know, group of unarmed de-escalative people to like get more funding, potentially at the expense of more police funding.
Wow. No kidding.
And that they are essentially saying like, this is good. Like, we don't want our roided up psychos to be killing people, which is the, you know, predictive thing that would happen in these situations. And, like, that's what we train them to do. So it's, like, good that there's this other thing that, you know, will keep the, you know, people safe and our officers out of bad press and, you know, having to go through any real reform.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, I really feel like what police in 2024, what police departments want is to just collect overtime. They want to, like, stand around on their phone and lie.
Like, eat hot chip.
Yeah, yeah, like, around around a Taylor Swift concert. Like, that's all they want to do now.
That's a pretty sweet gig.
Yeah, they want the sweet
gig. That's what I
want
to do.
Yeah, and, like, and then there's, like, another, like, probably small percentage that still have, like, a bloodlust that needs to be satiated. And we have a homeless population for that.
Ugh.
You know?
It's like, yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm sure, like, these mental health calls get, you know, mm-hmm. are also deal with the homeless most definitely, you know, but I don't know. I wouldn't characterize it as a good shift in police departments, but I think there is a honest reckoning that they're like, we can't handle this much bad press all the time, so we would much rather just learn how to cash out quietly.
Yeah,
you know, and just like get our overtime, shut up, Don't get all weird about the thin blue line stuff. Just quietly do your job with as little effort as possible.
Yeah.
Watch Netflix in your car. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe the de-escalatory services slogan is like, we keep us safe, which is really pretty interesting.
Yeah.
They're literally civilians that are trained in mental health de-escalation tactics.
Yeah. Wasn't that like ACT UP's like slogan or something? Yeah. I don't know. It's cool. It's good.
Yeah.
It makes it that much more interesting that the police department would be like, yeah, these people are great. Right? We're not keeping them safe. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
not my job.
Yeah. We're like, hey, I'm a square peg. Okay. We're all like, me and my boys, we're square pegs. Stop trying to fit us in a round hole. You know, like,
we're looking for the square hole of state sanctioned violence. All right. If we're not down for that.
Yeah. And overtime.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sure.
Also, the weather's going to get nice someday. That's another
someday. Wildfire. Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited.
As much as I can be.
Yeah. Did you lose power that one really bad snowstorm?
No. Remember, you guys came here.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. We were here.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you guys never lost power.
Yeah, apologies to the listeners. We missed last week because I was seeing my mom. So shout out to my mom. That was a really nice
shout out to Chris's mom.
Trip.
We also all converted to Catholicism. We're all now devout Catholics. We are celebrating the miracle of Jesus' resurrection.
Yep, and members of Opus Dei, unifying our life.
Yes.
And also proud recipients of WorldCoin. So holla at your boy if you want some WorldCoin.
Come get scanned.
Yeah, because I need you to then put it on the blockchain and convert it to Bitcoin, because God, do we have some work to do.
Apologies that this episode is coming out a day late, because David and I are going to see the eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
And we will be in town. We are leaving right after we finish recording this, and we won't be back till Tuesday, so that's why you're getting this a day later than you normally do. Apologies for that.
Hell yeah. Well, I wish you clear skies.
I know. I think it's going to be cloudy, but you know what? I'm not going to miss this. Even if it is cloudy, it's going to get dark. Whatever.
At a weird time.
Yeah. And honestly, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Speaking of weird weather events, Chris, did you feel the earthquake?
I didn't.
No,
I think I was like mid stride walking between buildings, and I don't think I noticed it.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah.
I felt it too.
I had the distinct pleasure of being in a room of geographers. You know, during everyone's like, we need to report this immediately.
Yeah. Just like, we gotta get on the USGS
website. Yeah. It's like, I think it's going to get widely reported.
Well, no, because they have like a citizen science, like, report how it felt in your area thing. Oh, so they can map like the experience of the earthquake from all the way around.
Did any of them have like active like seismographs in their phones, like, just going all the time in case it happens?
No. But it's like a questionnaire where they're like, did things fall off shelves? Was it scary? It actually asks, like, were you scared or excited? Which I think is probably an interesting proxy for intensity of the earthquake. Last I looked at it, it had like 11,000 people responding to it. So, like, I don't know, people get on that shit.
I responded to it.
People love reporting earthquake experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when they're rare.
It was, the epicenter was New Jersey.
Yeah.
I didn't actually follow up to see if there was like any devastation.
I don't think there was a lot of damage
from it.
No tsunami off of the Jersey coast.
Fortunately not. Yeah.
Yeah. Staten Island has been eliminated.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
Shout out to Shaolin.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Well, I think that'll do it for this episode of Ironweeds. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much to our new patrons. Welcome. We're about to record a bonus episode. Be kind of like a grab bag. Some stuff about Blackstone, which is different from BlackRock. We're learning.
They're in cahoots.
Yes.
Yes.
The stones and rocks are in cahoots.
And an update
on the Red Heifer beat.
Yes, the Red Heifer beat. So you can listen to that for $1 a month at patreon.com/ironweeds. And in the meantime, you can find us on Twitter.
IronweedsPod.
And on Instagram.
IronweedsPod.
And you can send us an email if you want to at ironweedspod@gmail.com. Thank you so much. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Peace.